The letter of Paul to Titus. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when our goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out of his richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word written by Paul today. We thank you for this letter that Titus received as he was going into Crete to start a church. Lord, we pray that as we hear this word, that we can use it in our lives as leaders, as scouts, as young people, as ministers of this church. Ministers in this world. As this is written to all of us, let it touch our hearts. May our eyes be opened to that which you would have us see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there was a pastor, a Boy Scout, and a computer genius on an airplane. Small plane. And the pilot came back to the cabin and said that the plane was going to crash. But there were only three parachutes for those four people. So the pilot said that he really should have the first parachute because he had a wife and three small children. So he took the parachute and he jumps out the airplane. The computer expert said, I should have one of those parachutes because I am the smartest man in the world and everyone needs me. So he took one and he jumps out. Well, the pastor turns to the Boy Scout and he says with a sad smile, you're young. I've lived a nice life. So take that remaining parachute and I will go down with the plane. The Boy Scout says, Pastor, relax. The smartest man, the genius in this world, took my backpack and jumped out. Moments ago, we heard Liam and Ian read the Boy Scout law. That a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, and kind, obedient, cheerful, and thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And then Liam's brother Joe reads a version of the Christian law written by Paul to Titus, that a Christian is kind, loving, merciful, rebirthed, renewed, and hopeful, justified, devoted, saved, trustworthy, obedient, and responsible. Responsible for what? I mean, really, if you are kind, if you are loving, merciful, rebirthed, renewed, hopeful, justified, devoted, saved, trustworthy, and obedient, what more can we possibly be responsible for? Really? Doing all of that sounds quite exhausting to me, and then you ask me to be responsible? Really? But just as Joe read in Titus, we are responsible to make a progression. We all start out as sinful creatures. We all are foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We know those earthly pleasures that we are enslaved to. Money, success, sex, wealth, getting to the top, being the best. We start out this way because we do not have the love of the Lord in our hearts. We have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many people talk about this feeling of walking around in their life and feeling as if they have this hole in their heart. They feel like they're missing something. They're trying to earn more money. They're trying to get to the top of the corporate ladder. They're trying to have more friends on Facebook than anybody else. And there's still this hole, this hurt, this deep feeling of not sure what that means. But friends, that hole in that heart is only there for Jesus Christ. And no one or nothing in this world will ever fill that hole. The success, the friends, the money, none of that will fill that hole because it is only there shaped for Jesus Christ. It's a lot like this car giveaway that I remember when I was a kid in Minnesota. The car dealership had this one beautiful car in the middle of their showroom. And if you came to the dealership and test drove a car, you were given a key, this random key. And if your key started that beautiful car in the middle of the showroom, you won the car. Well, guess what? People were traveling from miles and miles just to test drive a car for the opportunity to win that one in the middle of the showroom. But you get this key and you're thinking, this is the best thing in the whole entire world. I'm going to win a car. Praise the Lord. And you get in and you turn the ignition and nothing happens. You have not won the car. You leave there empty-handed. Similarly, in life, we walk around with this hole, grabbing at keys and trying them, hoping that they're going to turn the ignition of our hearts and we are going to be happy. Woo! Happy! And you turn that key and nothing happens. But then, there comes a day when we're handed this key. This key is not like any other key we've held in our lives. It looks different. It behaves different. It feels different in our hands. It's filled with kindness and love. And it appears that it's going to fit just right into our hearts. And as we turn that key to allow Jesus Christ into our lives, we are rebirthed and renewed. And as we progress through this Lenten season, as we move forward, we are reminded of that great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for each and every one of us. This was not a sacrifice that Jesus made because you and I are worthy. Not because we've done really great things, because we're good people, because we have the most friends on Facebook, because we have so much money that we tithe to the church. It's quite the opposite. As Titus has read in verse 5, he saved us because of his mercy. Verse 7 of today's scripture read, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And here it is. We are responsible as Christians to continue that progression in our lives. We cannot just turn the key and allow Jesus Christ into our lives and then keep our cars in park. We can't leave our car in neutral. We have to put that key into our hearts, allow Jesus Christ there, and then drive. Move forward. We have been given those keys to the kingdom of eternal life, but we cannot stop there. We're given two great commandments. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We've covered the loving God part. We've inserted that key into our heart and it fits just right, and we have unlocked a great love. Now there's this woman, her name was Brenda, and she shares this story about a friend who has a 4-year-old son named Benji. This 4-year-old is really bright. He's just a really great kid and really fascinated, loves going to church. And so this woman is talking to Benji about receiving Christ. And she says, "Benji, would you like to have Jesus in your life? Would you like to have Jesus in your heart?" And Benji stopped and he was thinking for a few moments. And he closes his eyes and he opens them. And he rolls his blue eyes at her and he says, "No! I don't think I want all of that responsibility." But Benji realized what many Christians still have not figured out, that salvation is a free gift, but it comes with some strings attached. Service is not an option for us as believers. It's a responsibility, a natural outgrowth of our relationship with Christ. We are responsible to serve the Lord. Are you serving the Lord today in your life? Finally, in verse 8, it reads, "This is a trustworthy saying." And I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. If you and I are devoted, if you and I are doing what is good, and if we love God, if we love God with all that we are, all that we can be, and if we trust in Him, then we will be responsible enough to share that love with others. If we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then how can we not let that flow from us and share it with others? Some of you know Dr. Spitzer. He's the senior regional pastor of American Baptist Churches of New Jersey. And Dr. Spitzer was going to this meeting in Philadelphia at the Hilton Airport Hotel. This was just a couple weeks ago. He's walking into the hotel. He's about a car length from the door, and he hits a patch of ice and he falls. And he's laying there. He has his son who has a disability, and he's laying there and he's not sure that he can get up. He's hurting bad. And out of the door comes this man, and he looks and he sees Dr. Spitzer laying on the ground. And he keeps walking. Wow. He kept walking to his car and he left. So Dr. Spitzer rolls onto his right side and gets up and goes to the hospital, has a broken shoulder. And you had to ask yourself, I had to ask myself, would I be the man or woman that would walk by someone that is hurting? someone that's fallen. And I don't necessarily mean somebody that's laying on the ground because they've fallen on a patch of ice. I am asking if you are going to walk by that person that's hurting in here. I'm going to ask if you are going to walk by the person that has fallen in their life, that's hurting, that doesn't know what to do or where to turn. Are you going to walk by that person? Will we love and care for our neighbor just as we are reminded in the Lenten service earlier? Friends, Lent is not about giving up something. It's not about giving up chocolate. I love chocolate. Lent is not about giving up the video games. Lent is not about giving up staying up late or being kind to your brother. Lent is about reflection. It's about growth in our relationship with Jesus Christ and about emptying ourselves of our desires to allow Jesus to fill the space with his desire. So this past week I spent in Florida with my daughter Jay, and we went down and spent a week with my uncle, stayed with him, and my other uncle lives just around the corner. And the first thing was that impressed me about this kind of community, 55 plus community that we stayed in. Jay called it the old folks home. Nice. Yes, I know, right? That's what my uncle said. Was that this, my uncle has a new lady friend, and her name is Sandy. And it was kind of an interesting story about how they met. My uncle Bob has a lady friend, Sandy. My other uncle, Brian, and his wife live in the same community. Well, Sandy lost her husband about a year and a half ago. Tragic, crazy thing. So my uncle Brian sends Sandy a card. He doesn't know her at all. But they knew that her husband had passed away, and so my uncle sends her a card with his condolences and a donation to a local charity. So a few months later, after she's done grieving, she goes and thanks my uncle. She could not believe that he would send a card and a donation to somebody they didn't even know. And so they strike up a friendship. You see, friends, sometimes we have to reach out to those people that have fallen and are broken, whether we know them or not. The second thing that struck me while we were there in Florida was there's this gentleman named Ron, and Ron was in his mid-80s. Mid-80s. Octogenarian month, right? Next month? Celebrating those that are 80 and above? Well, Ron fits in this group. He's just like some of the folks here, Van. Ron spends each and every day in the community going around and repairing people's screens and windows. And he doesn't charge a thing, only those things for the supplies that he needs. He does it with this huge smile on his face as he goes around and he fixes these windows and these screens. Ron uses the gift that God has given him to bless his neighbor. Ron feels a responsibility not just to use his talent for his own home or for a financial profit, but he uses it as a gift, as Paul says, for the profit of everyone. Being responsible isn't about an age. We can be 8 or we can be 88. We can be 103 or 3 years old. It does not matter what age we are. We can still touch the lives of other people for Jesus Christ. In closing, friends, being a scout is not that much different from being a Christian. And being a Christian is not that much different than being a scout. Each of us is learning along the way to do and to be better. Each of us is on a journey to receive our wings, whether they be that of an Eagle Scout or that of an angel. Either way, we have these attributes that we are responsible to use in our lives for the honor and glory of God. And remember, you're not just responsible for yourself. We are all responsible to spread the word of God and the love of Jesus Christ to no end. Because a Christian is kind, loving, merciful, rebirthed, renewed, hopeful, justified, devoted, saved, trustworthy, obedient, and responsible. May God bless each and every one of you.
receive a blessing of the Lord. O Lord, may we be doers of the word and not hearers only. May we think about what has been said today, how we've been inspired today, how we felt the Lord speaking to us.